Welcome to Booted Dudes, a podcast about Doomtown Reloaded. In today's episode, the dudes talk about the fluff behind hex slinging, discuss possible starting hucksters, and there's a contest where you can win some free promo cards.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of Booted Dudes. My name is Michael.
And my name is Hans.
Okay, let's get started. So Hans, on a scale of 1 to Irving Patterson, how booted are you right now?
Right now I'm quite booted, actually, quite tired. Maybe because we had this trip to Bochum last Sunday, which lasted the whole day.
Oh yes, it did.
And we were back at around midnight here in Lübeck. So yeah, I'm quite booted, but nevertheless, we're going forward.
I'm actually quite booted by that too. Actually, the whole day after the tournament, I think I spent not doing a lot of things.
Me too.
Because I was still very booted. But we did some recordings, and they are going to go online soon, I hope. And because we might have forgotten this in the recording, thank you very much again to Thomas Borowski, who organized the whole tournament, and very special thanks to Stich, who was so nice to be our host and a very, very nice host. We had lovely drinks there.
Yeah, actually one was called Nothing.
Yes, I had one of Nothing.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it was really good. I think I enjoy Nothing. So, let's get to the news. What is new in Gomorra?
Yeah, we had some pretty cool spoilers this week. I think we won't get into detail, I think, with every spoiler.
Oh, no.
But let's just like shortly consider Harry Highbinder and Consecration.
Yes, I believe those were the last two that have been spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
So what is Harry Highbinder?
So Harry Highbinder is a dude, zero draw. He has three influence. He's an Sloan dude. He costs four, has an upkeep of two.
And he's a jack.
And he's a jack, yeah. And Harry cannot attach weapons and his taxes while Harry is at the town square and you have more influence there than any other player. You control the town square.
Okay, wow. Why is that even a thing? Why is controlling the town square interesting?
Yeah, normally it can't be controlled by anybody. So what's the benefit of controlling the town square?
Well, usually if you are somewhere that you don't control, you cannot attach spells, goods, and you can also, of course, not invent gadgets.
So you can't do a shop in action, actually?
Nope, you cannot. That's correct.
And is there any other thing?
Anything else? I don't think so. You can trade if you don't control the place, but there's no shopping.
Maybe there are some cards where you have to control the place where you're in? I don't remember any, but...
I don't think right now, but it might be that there's going to be jobs or something that go mark a place that you control or something.
Yeah.
We don't have...
Yeah, and it's not a deed. So if there's something like mark a deed that you control, the town square is still not a deed, so it doesn't really matter.
Doesn't work.
So yeah, maybe that would be quite cool and maybe in a huckster deck, huckster deck, where you can be in the town square and attach hexes.
Because there is one thing that you cannot do, and that is attach weapons to himself. So it is not a good idea to have him in your starting posse and then just run with him for the town square, because you want other dudes to be there if you want to capitalize it to attach weapons. So you need at least somebody else who can get this fancy, I don't know, pearl-handled revolver or
actually,
something.
Actually, I had in Sloan decks and also in Huckster decks from the circle, I had quite often the thing that you are going forward into the town square and then you are like in the round two or three, you are drawing weapons or hexes and you can't attach them because you are already attacking and then you have like, maybe your card advantage is gone because you have the hand full of stuff and you can't really attach it to anybody. So yeah, he should be pretty cool, although he's more on the costly side.
Yeah, upkeep of two, it's going to be hard to get him in your starting posse. But okay, interesting card. I think some good old Sloan from the base set is gonna like it.
Yeah, I think so.
Up to
for an aggressive deck, the mid game for an aggressive deck could be interesting. So, Consecration. the next spoiled card. So it's a 9 of hearts. It's a miracle. Mm-hmm. And it has cost 0. So the text is cheating resolution, a miracle 7. One of your dudes gets +2 bullets and +2 influence and becomes a stud until after sundown. If this is a shootout, reduce your casualties this round by 3.
Whoa, that's awesome. I want this in my deck.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
So I think it's the first miracle we have with a cheating resolution.
Yeah, pretty much the, how do you say, the antithesis of fetch.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's the bad fetch. No, the good fetch.
It's fetch for good people.
Yeah, it's fetch for good people because it's a cheating resolution, so you can use it on lowball.
For example, yeah. Yeah, and if you use it on lowball, then your dude gets +2 bullets and +2 influence and becomes a stud and for the whole round. So you can make your Travis Moon a 4-stud with 2 influence.
Yeah.
That is very crazy.
And you can just send him and shoot people.
Yes, of course.
Or shoot dudes.
Shoot a lot of dudes. So, yeah. And if you do it in a shootout, it's also kind of a protection. So I think there is this theme with more than one miracle having this ability to reduce your casualties when you use it in a shootout. Mm-hmm. So you could hypothetically build a deck that might not shoot very consistently. Because if you have a really bad draw, you can, with a little bit of luck, just use your miracle. And then you won't have any casualties, so you can draw again, and maybe you draw better.
Mm. And I also think it's because it's slightly less good in a shootout. So you have to have some advantage when you use it in a shootout. I think it's better to use it in lowball.
Oh, that's right.
And you have a little advantage when you use it in the shootout, because then you have this extra protection.
Oh, that's right, because the bullets, they won't come into effect until the next round of the shootout. So if it's your first round of shootout and your opponent cheats and you use this, then the 2 bullets and the stud don't really help you for this round of the shootout.
Yeah, yeah.
So but if I have Evanor and Abraham Groff with, like, the experienced one, then you can have a crazy second round of shootout.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's not
going to happen.
But
it's the same with fetch, because you just get a good club. Mm-hmm. Which you can use the next, maybe a good shootout action club, like Pistol Whip or something, and you can use it in the next round of shootout. And this is the same with Consecration.
Yeah.
Also, this is bullet, yeah, bullet affecting.
It's a pretty good card.
Yeah, so I think we will, this will be our kind of news section.
Because there's so many spoilers. You know, from Netrunner, there is like 3.5 official spoilers. You see like 2 cards, and then there are some cards where some people use all their photoshopping skill to try and find out what these sentences and parts of sentences you can see might mean.
Oh, yeah.
And then everything else is just illegal spoilers from playtesters who don't give a fuck.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
So it's really nice to have all these official spoilers, and every one of them has a funny story. Although yeah, I'm very...
I really like this with Doomtown, the stories.
Yeah. It's awesome.
I'm looking forward to them.
Although, spoiler alert, Kyle Wagner dies. I am still in mourning.
Yeah, he's eating by mad cows.
Yeah, it's not fair. He was such a great dude. I wanted
it's
an
like
experience
mad
version.
Mad cow disease.
Yeah. Oh, no. Please, if you are listening, Eldorek, please undo this. Please tell us that this story is not canon and Kyle Wagner is still, you know, he's still healthy and in good spirits.
Maybe he's an Herod.
Yeah, Herod cow.
How would Kyle Wagner experienced one?
Oh, that would be awesome. Okay.
Okay.
So much for the news. Now, we try to cover one fluffy thing and one crunchy thing in every episode. Today, the kind of fluffy thing is being a huckster. So, I did some research in the Deadlands core rulebook and also the, I think it's called Hexes and Hucksters supplement from the old Deadlands role-playing game. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm just going to tell you a little story. It's the story of Edmund Hoyle. Now, if you have ever heard of Edmund Hoyle, that might be because he's actually a real person. So there was somebody in our world called Edmund Hoyle. And he was somebody in Great Britain in the 17th century. And he was very famous for being a game theorist. Because he wrote a treatise on whist, which was a very, very popular game back then. And also a real big book called The Book of Games, where there were like a lot of different ways to play card games and also some kind of strategy guides. And I think, if I remember correctly, that he was making a living off of traveling through London and Great Britain and going from one lord to the next lord and teaching them card games and selling his book and that kind of stuff. So this is the actual Edmund Hoyle. But it wouldn't be the Deadlands universe if they were not taking these real world personalities and turn them into something really, really twisted. So in the Deadlands lore, Edmund Hoyle is also very important because basically they said when he was young, he was in the East India Company and he was like some kind of soldier. And when he was in India, he found out that there is magic. He went to Constantinople and he started studying magic. And he found out that there is like these evil spirits. He didn't really know what to call them, but they were there and they were mischievous. And he tried to kind of harness their power by casting
like genies.
Yeah, it's actually for Deadland people, they are called the Manitus in the Deadland universe. I think we're going to hear a lot of them when we're going to cover more stuff from Doomtown, because they're quite big players in the universe.
Okay, but they are also in Constantinople and they were called Manitus?
No, they are basically everywhere.
Okay.
And they are from another plane, which is like the great hunting grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to come over to our world and use their henchmen to cause fear and terror, because that's what they live off.
Ah, okay.
Well, they are basically everywhere. But Edmund Hoyle was in Constantinople because there was a lot of libraries about them. Oh. So he read a lot about these demons and about magic, and he tried to cast a spell and it went horribly wrong. So he was chased by a mob of peasants out of the country and he went to Vienna. And in Vienna, he found like a poor kid on the streets and he decided to make him his apprentice because he was not speaking German himself, Edmund Hoyle. And this guy, he was from Russia. His name was Byron. But he could fluently speak Russian and German. So he kind of took him as a interpreter, but also as an apprentice. So he found out that this Byron that he had with him now was also doing magic, kind of, well, he was interested in learning it. So they both tried to make a healing spell. But then what he does not know is that this Byron guy is in reality very, very evil. Because he used to be some kind of Russian royalty, but then he got banned from Russia and all he wants now is revenge.
Okay.
So when he found out that there was some kind of magic, he quickly turned to dark magic and he started like doing all the forbidden stuff that mm-hmm. Edmund Hoyle did not want to do. But he didn't tell his teacher that he was into the dark arts. So when Edmund Hoyle tried to heal a poor guy, I think, his student, this Byron, he did some kind of trick to turn the magic evil, so the guy died. And Edmund Hoyle kind of caused the plague in Vienna by doing that. So then like 500,000 people died and Edmund Hoyle left Vienna. Yeah, and he also left his apprentice there. So while Edmund was somewhere else trying to make up for the plague he caused, his apprentice learned the dark arts and he got really, really strong, like much stronger than Edmund himself. When Edmund heard that there were more plagues like in France and in Sicily, then he kind of got the idea that maybe it's his apprentice's fault. So he tracked him down and he found out that actually it is his apprentice who is causing all the deaths.
Mm-hmm.
So he faces him off in a battle of two mages, kind of, mm-hmm. and he loses terribly because his apprentice with
Like me today in Doomtown.
Yeah, kind of like that. Except I didn't use black magic.
No, I tried to.
So he lost, and his apprentice beat him, and he almost died. But he found out that he's not strong enough to face the dark arts.
Mm-hmm.
So up until now, there is nothing going on with card games or something. It's just people practicing like raw magic or something. But Edmund now saw that he had to defeat his former apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed some kind of shortcut because he needed to grow strong really fast
mm-hmm.
so he could keep up with the dark arts. So he thought, how about I just cheat? So how about I get a money to here, like on my plane, and I play a game with him, and I say the loser gains a lot of power, and then I just cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried that, and he learned that, and that was the time when he was traveling through Great Britain, teaching card games to people, because in reality he was trying to learn how to cheat in Magic. And he wrote this book of games, which was actually just his notebook of, like, his spells.
Mm-hmm.
And those spells, they were all encoded in examples of card games and strategy guides. And there was, like, a lot of numerology hidden in there.
Okay, so is this Doyle's Hoyle?
Well, basically, not quite. That's going to come into play later.
Okay.
Well, you say Hoyle to the book of games. It's just my Hoyle is my copy of the book of games because it's written by Hoyle. And Doyle's Hoyle is the copy of Hoyle that some other dude named Doyle copied.
Okay.
So it's really complicated. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, he learned how to cheat the money twos. And this is where huckster stuff actually comes in. Because what you do when you cast a hex is you play a game of chance and skill against a money two. And if you win, he grants you power. And if you lose, you're fucked, basically. So that's why every huckster, when you see him casting a spell, will have cards in his hands, because they magically appear, actually. They are not like usual cards. You just manifest cards in your hand because you play them against the money two. And the funny thing is, most of the hucksters play poker because it's just super famous in, you know, like in the Wild West. But you could play anything. You could not play chess because there is no luck in chess. And you could not play, I don't know, you could not just roll a die because there is no skill in rolling a die.
Ah, okay.
But everything that has both components can be played. So you could play Tiddlywinks because there's some kind of luck and there's some kind of chance, but it would be very embarrassing. You probably wouldn't want to show that to other people.
Yeah, of course not in a shootout.
No, that's how huckster stuff works.
Oh,
you play against the money too, and if you win, you cast the hex.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose, something happens that's called backlash. And backlash means you have a problem. It could be that the money two deals damage to you.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that the money two takes control of your body for some time. Or it could be that the money two takes control of your body forever, which basically turns you into a herald. A herald is a person that's controlled by a money two all of the time.
Ah, okay. But you don't have this element in Doomtown, do you?
Not really. There's no backlash yet. I wish there was some hexes that go, if you fail this hex, something really awful happens to you. That would be very thematic, actually.
Yeah, like with many of the gadgets, where you have some result for failure.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe in the future you have stronger hexes.
Oh, I hope so.
Which there's like a drawback.
That would be awesome. So that's how he learned how to be a huckster, basically the first huckster in existence. And then when he was all strong, he went back, he defeated his apprentice, he chased him, I think, to Siberia, because his apprentice already became like the Baron of Russia, because he killed the Tsar and married his ex-wife or something.
Okay.
So then Hoyle goes there, Hoyle kills his apprentice and burns him down.
Mm-hmm.
And then the problem is, when Hoyle gets back home, he finds out that in his absence, his notebook has been copied and distributed. Like, you know, some company just sold his books. And he didn't want that because he wanted nobody to have this kind of power. And also in his book, there were a lot of errors. And he was the only one who knew, like, with every spell, what you have to, you know, what error you have to calculate into your spell.
Ah, okay.
So that's why he continued traveling the country. And he made his book perfect. So then he also went to America and he met some shamans who told him about the money twos, but that's not important for us now. But basically, he spent the rest of his life making a perfect version of his book of games.
Okay.
And he died in America, but he sent this perfect version of his book to his family and told them to distribute it.
Okay.
And that's when people could start become hucksters, because they would somehow get the book and then try and learn the secret meanings behind all these card games.
Ah, okay.
And the thing is now that this was like in the early 18th century. So now you will probably not get an original copy of the Hoyle, but you get a copy of somebody who bought it 100 years ago, and then he copied it, and then, you know. So that's why you have stuff like Doyle's Hoyle, because it's like people have this book, and they copy it for themselves, and then they give it to their grandchildren, and that's what you get.
Ah, okay, so that's Doyle's copy of Hoyle.
Yeah. And
of the Hoyle.
And the closer you are to the original version, the better it is for learning spells, because, of course, there's errors. And that's basically why people are hucksters and how you can be a huckster and what hucksters do. They basically play a game of luck with their soul, kind of. It's like the stakes in their own soul. Now, in Doomtown, we do have a lot of hucksters, and we wanted to take a quick look at some of them with whom you can start your posse.
Like starting hucksters.
And the interesting thing is you have like two neutral ones, I think.
Yeah,
and then
I would call them the benchmark hucksters.
Oh, yes, they are. And then you have three out of Sloan, and then you have a bunch out of Fourth Ring.
Yeah.
Which also, thematically, it makes sense, because the one thing you need to have as a huckster is a lot of guts. You need to go, yes, I'm going to trade my soul in, and maybe I lose, and maybe I die, but I don't give a damn. And that's, I think, why Sloan can also cast some hexes, because their hucksters are like probably the most ballsy people in the world.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, they look like it.
Oh, yes. So
maybe Maria Kingsford is like possessed by some kind of Manitou, or why are her eyes red?
Yeah, that looks really evil, actually. So yeah. It might be that sometimes, because it's like when you give control to the Manitou, he just takes over sometimes. It's like with the Loa in voodoo belief, you know, they just ride your body sometimes when they feel like it. Okay. And then sometimes you have control back.
Okay.
Except
she has done some evil, I guess, because she is in one of the stories, she is hunted by the Reverend.
Oh.
That's why she is in Sloan.
Oh, I see.
Because she doesn't like the Reverend and his petty beliefs or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's start with the benchmark hucksters. We have Steel Archer, who is a huckster 2 influence and 5 cost, 1 upkeep. So yeah, he's a huckster 2, which is like the good huckster. They're better hucksters, but huckster 2 is like, if you want to have a huckster, this is, I think, the guy to go to. And there's like the smaller version, which is, it's Wilbur Crowley.
Yeah.
Or Crowley.
Wilbur Crowley. Yeah, it's kind of a reference to Aleister Crowley, the famous occultist of the 19th century.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But he's also a candidate for the mayor.
He wanted to be mayor.
So the difference is basically he has one less influence. Well, he's also a draw, but he has no upkeep, and he's only huckster 1.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, if you have a good deck with like high value cards, it doesn't really matter if you're huckster 2 or huckster 1. These are the benchmarks. And then you have all the hucksters from Sloan and Fourth Ring, which we can compare to them.
So basically about those two basic hucksters, I think, as you said, if you don't need the huckster 2, if you know that your pulls are pretty safe anyway, then not having to pay an upkeep is a huge thing. So I think that's when you want to have
Vogel. As we think now, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, yeah.
So that's when I would like him, because the one influence difference is a thing, but I think your huckster is always in danger of being killed, because it's like the main target of your enemy. They always want to kill the huckster.
Yeah.
So it's like...
You have to go out with them to cast spells and not be in the...
No, they can't stay home all the time.
Stay home, yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay, but those are both pretty solid. Now, what does Sloan have to offer? They have 3 hucksters. The one we already talked about is Maria Kingsford. She's huckster 0, but she also costs 0 upkeep and only 3 to play. And you add her bounty to her huckster skill check during shootouts. So, this can get out of hand. If you start accumulating your bounty...
Yeah, definitely.
That's going to be pretty strong, actually.
In Desolation Row?
Oh, yeah. I think she really wants to be in Desolation Row.
Yeah.
If you can manage to fit hexes in there somehow.
You can always fit in only a few hexes, which just boost your abilities.
Yeah.
Maybe not like hexes where you have to have a really high value deck, like
Soul Blast, but just like a, how do you say, utility spells.
Shadow Walk or something easy.
Fetch.
Yeah.
Shadow like Walk. That. Stuff like that.
Because it's actually risky to play, you know, the high stuff. Because I think in those Sloan decks, a lot of the time, you have a lot of dudes with small values. And your deck, a lot of the time, shoots on small values, I think. I've seen a lot of Sloan decks, which were playing threes and fours and that kind of stuff.
And fives, yeah.
So
but you have certain values with the strong clubs.
So if you want to Shadow Walk and you have, is it difficulty 10 or something, I think, in the shootout?
10 or 7? I'm not quite sure.
Oh, well. Oh, if you have a Soul Blast and you really want to kill your other dude, it's going to be hard to find the time to give her 4 bounty so you can, like, pull a 4, add 4 of her Huckster skill, and then you
send but in Desolation Row, you're working towards 4 bounty, and then you have a Huckster 4.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, and no upkeep, that's always nice. Also no upkeep has Benny McGill, who is a Huckster 1.
That's he a new costs card.
3 to play. Oh, he's really new. And as a noon action, you can boot a hex on him to call out a dude with a higher bullet rating at the location where Benny McGill is at. And the dude who's called out cannot refuse.
So is this really a starting Huckster?
That's a good question. Well, I think, you know, you give him a hex like we had this, you know, mirror, mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You give him mirror, mirror. You walk into the town square. You call out there Stephen Wise or something with this. Oh, no. You need to give him 2 hexes. You need to give him like mirror, mirror and something.
Mm-hmm.
And then you boot the other hex to call out like a really high start. And then you make this really high start also a one draw. And then you have a fighting chance. No, it's
Maybe I don't really know if like 2 card combos are really worth it.
Yeah, but it's very hard.
What you can do with him also is you can just move him to any place or even out of town to a place where you want to go, and then boot the hex because you are booted, and then boot the hex to call him out.
Oh yeah, that's good.
So you can be kind of far reaching, but then you have only Benny McGill at the shootout. But you can also call in some people from the town square if you jump into the maybe if you can call out somebody in the home or at home.
Oh, you can do that.
So you can really like.
Oh, you can be super aggressive.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting thing. Like Stone Rush.
It's a good thing for the original outfit.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah. And the last one is Jose Morales. He's a Huckster 0, costs 6 to play and 1 upkeep. And while in a shootout, he gets a bonus to his Huckster skill equal to his bullet rating, which is 3. He's a 3 draw.
Well, he's not a starting Huckster.
No, I don't think so either.
He's a really meaty character.
But if you give him like a pearl-handled revolver, you know, like all these Sloan Rush decks have nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then again, you could just give the pearl-handled revolver to Marion Seville or something.
Yeah. He won't be that expensive, but I don't really know. But he's a good Huckster, but maybe for later in the game.
Yeah, and also it only works in shootouts, so good luck with that. You're going to play Soul Blast and Fetch and Shadow Walk. And maybe Raising Hell, but that's not really working.
And you had a deck where he's playing.
I do like my
Corporeal Twist.
Corporeal Twist. Oh yeah. Oh, that's so much fun. But I think it's kind of hard to pull off. You need a dedicated Sloan Huckster deck for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now to the meat and potatoes. I don't know if we can actually talk about all of these because it's a lot of them. Maybe we just highlight some of them. The Fourth Ring, as of now, has 9 Hucksters with 1 or less upkeep. And if you count in the ones with more upkeep, it's even more. But we just want to cover those who could also be starting Hucksters.
So I will have a quick selection of starting Hucksters.
Yeah,
so let's take out Jan Mayen. He's not really a starting Huckster.
Also Funtime Freddy. Because Funtime Freddy is a grifter and you almost always want to use his ability. And if you ace him.
We will cover Grifter at a different time.
Oh, yes, we will.
Slate Lie Buddy is also not a starting Huckster in my world. Mika Rice Experienced also not. So we have basically maybe like
5
Hucksters we can talk about. 5 starting Huckster, which would be Valeria Batten, the Flying Popescus, Mika Rice, Monguao the Mighty, and Leonardo Leon Cavallo.
Hucksters that cost 1 upkeep. This is Monguao the Mighty and Leon Cavallo. I think I've seen Monguao the Mighty a lot in your early Huckster decks. And yeah. It's been pretty strong.
Yeah, he is. He is. I recently got to use the zero upkeep ones,
mm-hmm.
like Valeria Batten, because she's just a 4-0 huckster one and a stud.
Yeah.
It's just a good starting huckster. And also the Flying Popescus. They are also quite good if you run a lot of spells because you get 2 influence for free.
That's right.
So, and you have this additional ability when you have mystical goods, but I don't really run mystical goods as of now. So it's, I never used that ability, but nevertheless, 2 influence is good. They are not the best hucksters with Huckster Zero, but yeah, I quite kind of liked, like him.
I think, yeah, the Flying Popescus, pretty strong. And they are from the last pack. They are from Frontier Justice.
Yeah, that's right. So
Mika Rice
is also quite cool. Yeah, but you really have to have hexes in the beginning, which you are not, which you actually are not using in the beginning to get him moved or to get him moved and shoot something. But you will always have the problem that you move somewhere and you, it's not like Shadow Walk where you can, is Shadow Walk where you can just have another noon action?
Yeah, another shootout action.
Another shootout action, yeah. That's so correct. So it's kind of tricky with Mika.
Yeah. So just for listeners who are not familiar, Mika has the ability Noon, boot a hex on Mika to move him without booting. Basically you can go to out of town deeds and cause a lot of trouble or just, you know, anywhere on the board. But yeah, it's hard to use and you need spells that you don't want to cast anyway. So it's, you need to have a lot of spells to have some extra.
Definitely.
And I think the same goes for the Flying Popescus. Well, kind of, because you really want to have 2 hexes on them.
Yeah, you have to have some cheap hexes, which you guys, like the summoning spell, how is it called?
Raising Hell?
Raising Hell, yeah. Which you might not be using this round because you have no money or stuff like that, but you can also have an additional use, which you can just, use during one round and then maybe have some Ghost Rock next round. I think Leon Cavallo, he has the ability Noon Boo to make a Huckster skill check against the value of a dude at this or an adjacent location. If successful, boot that dude.
Oh, that's nice.
So basically he has a spell, kind of a built-in spell.
Mm.
It also boots him, but it's like a control dude from the start.
Yeah.
So he basically can control a dude which from the opposing posse, which is normally the starting dudes are not very high valued. So you should control almost any dude.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's like a built-in paralysis mark. It's pretty strong.
Yeah, but you have to boot him. So if you use it, he's basically out of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had my problems with that, but he's pretty cool, I think.
Well, so in essence, there is not the one right huckster to start with. It all depends very much on your playstyle. So Leon would be great for a very control-oriented huckster deck.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mongwo is good for anything that's going to be more aggressive, because you can discard a hex from him to make him a 3-stud.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the common problems we had when playing with hucksters is if you can't use their hexes very well on the first round, they are just very bad shooters. So Mongwo helps you with that. Well, you need a hex anyway. But still, it allows you to be more aggressive because it's really hard to get a 3-stud on your first turn without some kind of janky stuff.
Yeah, and you can always use a hex which you have already used.
Oh, yeah, you can use the hex and then get
it. So it's an already booted hex. So for additional push in the first round where you're like maybe you're behind a little bit, it's pretty cool.
That's pretty good. Mika, you would probably want to have in a deck where you need a lot of mobility. You know, mm-hmm. the kind of chess-like decks where you just go from deed to deed and mm-hmm. disturb your opponent. The Flying Popescus, I think it's good all around.
It's a good secondary huckster, I would say. It's the same with Valeria Batten.
Yeah.
To add Valeria Batten is never bad.
No.
To add the Flying Popescus is, yeah.
And I think we're good with hucksters for now. So there is one thing you want to address when you build a huckster deck, and that is, which hexes do I include and what do I need to pull to make them work?
Yeah.
And in that regard, the hexes work in a very funny way sometimes.
Yeah, so on the one side, they're like the utility hexes.
Mm-hmm.
They have a fixed, or most of them have a fixed number to pull. And they are actually most of the time rather low. And because it's fixed, you can basically account them for in your deck structure.
Yeah.
But they're also the really powerful hexes which attack the opponent, like Soul Blast, Puppet, and Paralysis Mark, they actually work against the target's grit, or in the case of Paralysis Mark, against the target's value. Also, Soul Blast, you have to be, I think, 6 above the target's grit to ace him.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty high standard. You have to have really good pull structure to actually use this against strong characters.
Yeah. And this is where strong hucksters come in handy.
Yeah.
Like Maria Kingsford with a lot of bounty.
Yeah.
Could be really mean with the Soul Blast.
And also hucksters which we haven't mentioned yet, which are starting hucksters.
Late-game hucksters.
Yeah. Smiling Tom. Huckster 4.
So, I need to pull really high with Soul Blast, so I assume Soul Blast itself has a really high value.
Yeah, but it hasn't.
Oh, no, it's an ace, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an ace.
Oh,
so...
my God, it's the worst card.
So, basically, when you have Soul Blast in your deck, and you actually draw or pull, you have to say pull a Soul Blast for this pull, mm-hmm. and you're seeing the Soul Blast while you are casting the Soul Blast, you're basically dead.
Yeah, it's not going to work. So you try to get them out of your deck. Or you live with the possibility that sometimes your spells are just going to fail. So that's true for Soul Blast. Also, Puppet is on 4. So Puppet also goes against the opponent's grit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also kind of a liability to have a lot of Puppets in your deck.
Mm-hmm.
And Paralysis Mark is kind of funny because it's only against the value. So you're going to have to... You're not going to have to pull more than maybe an 11 for a jack
or
12 for a queen. And it's on 8, so it's a bit easier. But also it's less strong because it just boots them.
Yeah.
But it's quite reliable. So you might want to think about that when you build your decks. And maybe not put in all the great hexes, because a lot of them are really, really low on value themselves.
But on the other side, you will always play your hexes when they are like cost 1 or cost 0.
Yeah.
So you, when you have them in your hand, you basically play them on your hucksters.
Oh, that's
But
great.
We already had this in this episode. If you are out and about...
In the town square?
In the town square, yeah. And then you have all your hexes in your hand and you can't really play them.
That's not good.
That's where this, how is he called? Hightower? No, that's the Game of Thrones. Highbinder,
yeah, that's his name. Yeah, that's where he comes in handy. So maybe a Sloan Huckster deck with Highbinder? I think it should be quite fun. So, I think that about covers Hucksters for us now, at least the starting Hucksters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have a Huckster deck yourself, and you think it's really good, or maybe it's just really, really funny...
Or as like a combo.
Just send it in, because everybody who sends in his deck list is not only a wonderful person, and we like them very, very much, but also we want to give you the chance to win some alternate art pistol whips. And we're going to send those worldwide.
Yeah, we will.
Yes, of course. So everybody who sends us at least one deck will get one chance to win 2 alt art pistol whips. And also, we're going to take a look at all of those decks and try to play some of them. I don't know. We're going to play one of them, at least.
And you should make some remarks where how this deck should work and what's the trick about it and stuff like that.
And why should we play your deck?
Yeah.
And we're going to report on our next episode how that went. Cool. So just apply. Send us your deck list to bootedudes@gmail.com.
So maybe we should say something about the next episode, because we will talk about card advantage.
We will talk about card advantage.
One of the basic concepts of card games.
Of every card game, yeah.
Yeah, so you have a good deck if it can generate card advantage. It's basically that. So.
Well, that's what people think. But then it works really, really weirdly in Doomtown.
Yeah, definitely different to most of the other card games we play,
yeah.
I would say.
Okay, so episode 2 is going to be all about card advantage. And I don't know, maybe I'll find something on the fluff side. Maybe talk about Ghostrock? I don't know.
Could be a good topic.
Yeah.
Ghostrock or whatever.
So please stay tuned. Send us your deck lists. Also, any feedback is appreciated. And we'll see you at high noon. Anything else to say?
No.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please send in your feedback to booteddudes@gmail.com. We will read out your questions or comments on future episodes. Music used with kind permission from WellBad. You can find his music on Spotify, www.wellbad.de, or facebook.com/wellbadmusic. If you like our podcast, please subscribe to it on iTunes and or write an honest review, ideally with text, because it helps other people find the show online. We'll meet again tomorrow at high noon.